Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, December 12th. I'm Abby Larico. 100 years ago, air pollution in St. Louis was so bad, the Missouri Botanical Garden almost moved out of the city.
It was estimated by the 1920s that the average St. Louisan in the wintertime was ingesting 1 ounce of coal soot every single day.
St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke has the story of how the smog gave rise to a different Missouri institution. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. Frigid temperatures are expected over the weekend, with Sunday's forecast in St. Louis calling for temps in the teens at best. Mayor Kara Spencer says that St. Louis shelters have more than 340 extra beds right now. That's on top of the 400 available year-round. Gateway 180 is one shelter that's collaborating with the city to provide the extra beds during the winter months. 38-year-old DeLacy Brown has been staying at Gateway 180 for nearly 2 months now. Her home was damaged by the May 16th tornado. After repairs were completed, she says she and her two children were then wrongfully evicted.
And with having a newborn baby and a four-year-old and the weather and everything like that, I'm actually grateful for Gateway 180 for, you know, bringing us in and getting us out of that cold weather.
With the help of Gateway 180, Brown found a new home that she's moving into soon. Spencer says the shelters have not yet reached full capacity this winter, but the city will continue to evaluate whether it needs to add more beds. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has approved a Missouri waiver that disqualifies certain sugary foods from being SNAP eligible. Missouri submitted that waiver request in October. It states Missouri will classify certain food and beverages as restricted, which means they will no longer be SNAP eligible. This includes soft drinks, candy, and prepared desserts. In a statement this week, Governor Mike Kehoe thanked the USDA for approving the waiver, saying the state was proud to partner with the Trump administration, quote, as we refocus SNAP to maximize nutritional health for families while also supporting the abundant agricultural output of our state, end quote. Missouri is one of several states that had a similar waiver approved by the USDA. According to the Missouri Department of Social Services, the state's goal is to implement these changes to SNAP next October. The first year of the St. Louis County Senior Property Tax Freeze Program saved older residents $30 million. Data shared by the county and analyzed by St. Louis Public Radio reveals that, on average, higher-income seniors had more applications approved than lower-income residents. STLPR's Olivia Mizell reports some county council members have different opinions on the reasons for this.
Republican Councilman Dennis Hancock from Fenton represents District 3, which includes municipalities such as Town and Country with higher property values and incomes. He says the higher rate of senior tax freeze application approvals in his district is likely due to there being a higher home ownership rate there.
There's a lot of home ownership in my district. We also, I know, for example, where I live, there's a high percentage of seniors.
Democratic Councilwoman Lisa Clancy of Maplewood thinks it's more of an issue of access.
It was probably easier for people in the affluent areas of St. Louis County to be able to have their own transportation or have internet access.
Clancy is also concerned about the loss of revenue for school districts caused by the freeze. I'm Olivia Mizell, St. Louis Public Radio.
In her reporting, Olivia spoke with 76-year-old Kathy Hergett, who's lived in her Spanish Lake home in North St. Louis County for more than 40 years. She says an information session she attended at the North County Government Center didn't help her much with her application.
They really didn't give us any new information that was not available in their printed thing.
With the help of her son, Hergett did get her application approved and only has to pay one more dollar in property taxes this year than she did last year. She says the application process was long and challenging, but that she is happy to have received the tax freeze. The St. Louis County Justice Center recently failed an American Correctional Association inspection, which means it's at risk of losing its accreditation. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley spoke about the jail conditions with one detainee's concerned mother.
Susan Martin's 33-year-old son, Christian, has been detained at the county jail since the summer on a domestic assault charge. Martin says her son's mental health has been deteriorating due to poor conditions at the jail and minimal time allowed for recreation.
They're not being allowed out on a consistent basis. He said of late, it's been once a day for only 50 minutes.
Jail Director Jonelle Coleman says there's a reason.
They do not have adequate time because we do not have adequate staff. Do we attempt daily to get individuals out of their cells? Of course we did.
Coleman says millions of dollars are needed for building maintenance as well as hiring and training staff. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Transportation Security Administration is advising passengers to make sure they have acceptable forms of identification before flying this holiday season. That means real IDs for smoother checkpoint processing. Jason Hoban is the TSA Federal Security Director for Missouri. He also says if you're bringing gifts with you, don't wrap them yet.
That way we can see what they are. But if they do come wrapped and we have to look at that item, we will unfortunately have to open that item, which just causes more issues down the road for the traveling passenger.
TSA officials predict high Christmas travel numbers across the region this year, potentially exceeding 5 million people. This holiday season, a consumer watchdog group is warning parents about the rise of children's toys equipped with AI chatbots. The Illinois Public Interest Research Group, or Illinois PIRG, has released the 40th annual Trouble in Toyland report. This year, artificial intelligence is getting attention. Illinois PIRG's Ellen Hengensbach says AI toys are unregulated and untested.
Some experts are sounding the alarm that this is a massive experiment on kids' social development. These products call themselves your buddy, your friend, your companion, but AI friends don't act the same way real friends do.
This year's report also cautions against choking hazards like water beads and toys with button batteries or small magnets. FIFA has opened up another round of ticket sales for the 2026 World Cup for the first time since fans found out who will play in Kansas City. Madeline Fox has details on how to score.
Fans can enter a draw for this third phase of ticketing, the random selection draw, from now through Tuesday, January 13th. Entering the draw does not guarantee you a ticket, and demand will likely be very high. Fans who have registered through FIFA's ticketing site can apply to purchase tickets to particular matches. FIFA offers several pricing levels, but a pair of tickets to a Kansas City match starts at a minimum of $280. The city's most expensive tickets are to the quarterfinal match on July 11th and start at $525 per person. Results of the draw will be announced on February 6th. I'm Madeline Fox.
A century ago in St. Louis, cold winter temperatures brought an annual blanket of thick smog. But St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports the terrible air quality actually planted the seeds for a famous Missouri institution.
As St. Louis's population boomed in the 1920s, city residents were using huge amounts of coal to heat their homes and power their lives. St. Louis burned about 7 million tons of coal every year. That's enough to cover all of Forest Park in a layer almost 5 feet deep, says Andrew Wonko, public historian at the Missouri Historical Society.
It was estimated by the 1920s that the average St. Louisan in the wintertime was ingesting 1 ounce of coal soot every single day, just walking around, being in the smoky air.
Coal pollution affected every aspect of life in St. Louis. People's health, people's fashion choices.
People talk about putting their laundry out on laundry lines, and you would come back and it was dirtier than when you put it in the laundry in the first place.
The coal smog was also choking plants, especially the delicate ones on display at the Missouri Botanical Garden. The pollution was particularly bad for one iconic plant, says Shaw Nature Reserve Director Quinn Long.
The orchids were among the most important from both a collections value and also an economic value, and they were very susceptible to harm from the poor air quality.
As the problem got worse, a garden committee began a search for a smog-free property to grow plants.
And potentially, if conditions didn't improve, to move the entire botanical garden to this more rural property.
In 1925, the Missouri Botanical Garden purchased the first five farms that would eventually become Shaw Nature Reserve in Gray Summit. Right away, they built facilities to grow orchids.
If we go back 100 years ago, the intent was to display exotic plants from around the world.
But over the decades, Long says the work at Shaw has changed a lot, just like the air improved in St. Louis. At Shaw, the focus is now on native ecosystems. In one small corner of the 2,400-acre nature reserve, a group of volunteers slides handfuls of seeds off plants and throws them into buckets.
This is river oats.
Mike Smith is a land steward for Shaw Nature Reserve. He started coming out here 8.5 years ago after retiring from teaching in the Washington School District.
Some of the seeds are, like I say, just really therapeutic to collect.
The seed collection is part of a broader effort to remove invasive plants and put in what should be here. Volunteers collect over 1,000 pounds of seeds from almost 300 species of native plants at Shaw each year. Afterwards, staff dries the seeds in a restoration center with whirring fans blowing air through ducts into cardboard barrels filled with dry flowers. The seeds give off a spicy, earthy smell. Long says this building is a symbol of how the goals of Shaw Nature Reserve have changed in the last 100 years.
The old orchid ranges are beneath the new restoration center, and that represents a shift from a focus on predominantly non-native biodiversity from around the world to a focus on the native biodiversity of our region.
In Shaw Nature Reserve's next chapter, Long and his team plan to restore even more native habitat. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Jessica Rogan edited that piece. To see photos of the restoration work in action, head to stlpr.org. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway. We'll see you Monday.